Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson's Unhappy Monday. One of the great unsolved mysteries of the past 4 years is why certain types of people with certain types of jobs hate Donald Trump so much, really hate him, obsess over him, think about him when they wake up in the morning, would hurt him if they could. Why the fixation? It has nothing to do with the reasons that normal people sometimes get annoyed with Trump, the bragging, the short attention span, the rants on Twitter. None of that justifies hatred or obsession. Plenty of politicians have unappealing personal qualities. Teddy Kennedy killed a woman, and he's still a hero to the Democratic Party. No, the reason the ruling class despises Donald Trump is because they can't control him. Trump throws the bit. He refuses to mouth their lyrics. He will not obey. At any moment, Donald Trump is liable to come out with something that you're absolutely not allowed to say. Borders make countries, for example. China is our enemy. Whoopi Goldberg isn't that funny. All of it undeniably true, and that's the point and the problem. Trump's words hang in the air for all to see and to assess, and they are therefore a massive threat to people whose livelihoods depend upon fraud and lying. Trump is the most dangerous to his enemies when he tells the truth. In fact, they're his enemies precisely because sometimes he does tell the truth, and he did it the other day. On Friday, the president gave a speech at Mount Rushmore. He spoke eloquently about the BLM riots and what they mean for the country. Here's part of it.
Make no mistake, this left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. In so doing, they would destroy the very civilization that rescued billions from poverty, disease, violence, and hunger, and that lifted humanity to new heights of achievement, discovery, and progress. To make this possible, they are determined to tear down every statue, symbol, and memory of our national heritage.
Our national heritage, it's something we can be proud of. This country defeated both fascism and communism. Our revolution inspired democratic revolutions around the world, from South America to India. Even today, pro-freedom demonstrators in Hong Kong, where the stakes are very high, wave the American flag to express their hope and their defiance. Our economy and our schools created the world's first and the greatest educated middle class. Our engineers and our scientists invented the airplane and the transistor and virtually everything else in modern life. They also transformed agriculture. They ended famine on most of the globe. Our richest citizens became famous not for the palaces they built to themselves, but for the philanthropy they gave to others. Andrew Carnegie built countless libraries for the poor. John D. Rockefeller eradicated hookworm in the South. These are not the deeds of an evil country. They are the accomplishments of a great country. Yet, as the president pointed out, American school children learn virtually none of this. Instead, our curricula have become a toxic mix of lies and omission, all of it designed to poison our children against the country that formed them.
Okay. Last week, on my show, I gave you six reasons that all people wearing masks need to hear. But I started the show with that clip by Tucker Carlson because of the main reason that it is the media that is filling us all with the lies and stuff that we keep hearing. But since my microphone didn't work on that one last week, I need to redo them because, folks, this is important to know. You need to wear masks if and only if you are sick or have a pre-existing condition that makes you susceptible to getting this virus, or you are around others who have a condition that makes them susceptible to getting this virus. But, and this is a big but here, when you are around no one, and you are outside or in your car driving with no one in it but you, for God's sakes, do not wear a mask because there are reasons for this. One, wearing a mask decreases oxygen intake. Breathing through a mask decreases the amount of oxygen we need to live and be healthy. Wearing a mask increases blood acidity and makes breathing difficult. These two reasons alone should be enough. 2. A mask increases toxin inhalation. Toxins that we normally exhale as we breathe become trapped in the mask and re-inhaled into the lungs, increasing symptoms. The leftist government, by making masks mandatory, are only making you susceptible to catching the next virus they say is just around the corner by making your body ready to catch it, because it's doing things like 3, wearing a mask, face mask, shuts down the immune system. It decreases oxygen intake, increases carbon dioxide and toxin intake, putting your body under stress, which then makes it release cortisol and shuts down the immune process, which is not good for anyone, especially someone who has a decreased immune system in the first place. You want that working as well as it can, and the masks help shut it down. 4. Wearing a face mask increases the virus risk. It encourages and triggers the infection from dormant retroviruses that are already in the body, taking advantage of a weakened immune system due to mask wearing, something the government wants to make us less able to stop the disease in the next phase. 5. Wearing a face mask to stop the virus is scientifically inaccurate. Virologists measure COVID-19 to be 80 to 140 nanomicrons in size, making the weave of the material masks the equivalent of a chain link fence to a mosquito. For those who can't think, that means it is a freeway for the virus, and it will not stop the virus from coming in. In fact, you're inviting it in with the mask. 6. The effectiveness of wearing a face mask has not been studied. Absolutely no peer-reviewed studies have been carried out regarding mask effectiveness within a social environment to control, prevent, or eliminate the spread of the disease. Yet people like California Governor Gavin Newsom and New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and Pelosi and others are saying that science makes the masks work. It doesn't. Have you seen Pelosi having troubles getting up from a kneeling position or having troubles in other ways? She's always wearing a mask, and it is the mask, among other things. She always has it on. So no, they don't, Newsom. You are a moron. No, they don't, Grisham. You are a moron. No, they don't, Pelosi. You and et al. Are morons, working to make everyone sick in this next go-around. And according to you, it's coming. Welcome to our weekly Friday show. The call-in number here is 646-478-5284. We're glad you are here.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
Welcome to Hour 1 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert the Infidel Garding, as we strive hard to bring you the correct news as it actually happens, with no liberal spin or unbiased lies that are parroted in the lame streamlined media. Using the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason, in this unreasonable world comes NWCR Radio on Conservative Nation Media from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where America always wins. And now, here's Robert. Okay, we are back, and I am in the process of trying to find something. Okay, here it is. Continuing on from the beginning story comes this one from a doctor, and I played this last week, but like I said, all of my stuff was not working last week, so you know, the only things that came through was the audio. So this stuff is stuff that I actually really need to repeat because it's all important here, folks. Masks are dangerous. And here is the doctor that I played this from last week. It's a long audio, but her name is Dr. Victory. And here's what she has to say.
Hi, my name is Dr. Kelly Victory. I'm a trauma and emergency physician with a specialty in disaster preparedness and response and the management of mass casualty. For the past two decades, I've been in public health, working with and advising Fortune 500 companies, hospitals, schools, and municipalities, developing plans and training them to respond effectively to the worst ever cases, whether that be a hurricane, a flood, an active shooter, or a pandemic. There's no one in America or around the globe who hasn't been impacted by the recent pandemic of COVID-19. While we clearly mourn the lives of all who became severely ill or died from COVID-19, the vast, vast majority of people haven't been victims of the actual virus, but of our response and our reaction to the outbreak. Millions of Americans have lost jobs, delayed necessary medical care, been isolated from family, missed months of school, and been prohibited from worshiping. Now, we find ourselves months into the event, and communities across the country have suffered needlessly and are struggling to find a way out of this mess. My hope is that in this short presentation, I can provide you with information that will allow you to be better informed about COVID-19. And as importantly, more secure and confident to fully return to your lives, your businesses, schools, and places of worship without fear and without limitations. So, what do we know about COVID-19? Well, we know that it's a coronavirus. It's one of 26 major families of viruses. It's named for the microscopic appearance of the proteins that are stuck in the outside of the virus that resembles somewhat of a crown, hence the name corona. Coronaviruses are very common. Upwards of 20% of all common colds are actually caused by coronavirus. We know that COVID-19 is a mild disease in the vast majority of people. 85% of people who contract COVID-19 have few, if any, symptoms at all. Another 10% or so actually become ill the way you might with the flu and need to seek medical care, but only a very small number actually require hospitalization. And although any deaths are tragic, only a tiny fraction have died from this infection. We know that COVID-19 is a novel virus, one that hadn't been previously identified by scientists. But that doesn't mean that our bodies have no idea how to respond to it, as you may have been told. Although you may never have seen this exact virus before, our bodies have seen lots of viruses like it, and the immune system is remarkably capable of adapting. An analogy I might make is that although I've never met you, if I ran into you on the street, I would have a good idea how to interact. I'd know that you're a person, not a tree, a man, a woman, tall or short, and I would have a good idea of how to begin interacting with you, even though I'd never met you before. We know that COVID-19 has the ability to mutate or change its appearance over time. All viruses can mutate, but coronaviruses are especially good at it. The reassuring news is that most mutations end up making the virus weaker or less lethal rather than more. This particular virus doesn't do well when exposed to warm temperatures or to sunshine. It simply can't survive for more than a few minutes when the temperatures are above about 70 degrees, and certainly not when temperatures are in the mid-80s or higher. And finally, coronaviruses tend to be cyclic or seasonal in nature, meaning they have normal increases and decreases based on the weather, typically declining in the warmer months and potentially increasing in the cooler, wetter months. And this is why you may have heard that there could be a second wave in the fall. So who is truly at risk from COVID-19? We know that not everyone is at significant risk from this virus. In fact, as I said previously, most people, the vast majority of people, will not have any significant illness even if they do contract the virus. The people who we are most concerned about are those who are over the age of 70 and who also have underlying health problems, what physicians call comorbidities. The underlying diseases that we are specifically concerned about are diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and lung diseases like asthma or emphysema. When it comes to risk from COVID-19, overall health is far more important than your chronologic age. In other words, the number of candles on your last birthday cake is less important than how active, fit, and healthy you are overall. Children are at virtually no risk. Only a handful of children throughout the country have had any significant illness from COVID-19, and all of them had serious underlying health issues. In fact, outside of New York City, this virus has essentially been a nursing home problem. The general public has simply not been impacted the way the media and public health officials have led us to believe. Given everything I've just laid out in terms of the nature of the virus itself and those who are truly at risk, I can say that the national response to COVID-19 was horribly misguided. Let's start with the idea of social distancing. Social distancing isn't even an established healthcare concept, and certainly not one in the public health. The whole idea of social distancing was based on a theoretical model explored by a high school student in a science fair some years ago, looking at how an infectious disease might hypothetically spread as the result of potential exposures amongst kids at school. In other words, it was never scientifically based as a method for responding to a pandemic. What is a fundamental public health method for controlling the spread of infectious diseases is quarantine. In quarantine, the sick are isolated, kept indoors, away from others. And those who are at significant risk, the elderly and those with underlying diseases, are protected, say by the wearing of masks in public. Keeping healthy people isolated from one another simply isn't necessary. Masks are intended for the ill, when they will be potentially in contact with others, and for those who are caring for them. Multiple medical authorities, including the World Health Organization, the CDC, the New England Journal of Medicine, have now all acknowledged that there is no scientific justification for normal, healthy people to be wearing masks. In fact, prolonged mask wearing actually increases the risk of disease to the wearer. People tend to touch their faces much more often when they're wearing a mask. In addition, we end up rebreathing particles that our lungs have exhaled, whether it's pollen, dust, virus, or bacteria particles. They are trapped in the mask, and on the very next inhale, we breathe them back in. Lastly, many people are wearing masks other than surgical or medical masks, and many of them are not porous enough to allow carbon dioxide that we exhale to fully dissipate. So on every inhalation, we breathe back in more carbon dioxide. Furthermore, and very importantly, habitual wearing of masks decreases the body's natural immune response. We're supposed to come into contact regularly with foreign things, bacteria, viruses, all kinds of things. And that's what helps to keep our immune systems on alert, working at full capacity. If you limit your exposure to everything by constantly wearing masks or the overuse of hand sanitizers and disinfectants, your immune system in effect says, apparently I'm not needed. I'll go on vacation, take a nap. And it won't be prepped and ready when you need it to mount the appropriate immune response. So what's the real risk of contracting COVID-19? Despite what you were led to believe, COVID-19 has not proven to be as contagious. The recent New England Journal of Medicine study showed that it really takes quite a significant face-to-face exposure to someone who is sick from the virus for a matter of minutes, and even then, transmission is far from certain. There's a very low risk of contracting the virus from exposure to hard surfaces. The CDC now admits that continuously disinfecting surfaces is unnecessary, because the virus simply doesn't live for more than a very brief period of time on surfaces. And lastly, there is a very low risk from exposure to children. It turns out that children who actually have the virus in their noses or mouths harbor a very small amount of it. They have, on average, less than 25%, less than a quarter of the viral load that we find in adults. This may be part of the reason that children simply don't become sick with the virus, but it also means that we don't need to be concerned about being in close contact with them.
Okay. I played that audio last week, and like I said, my microphone was not working at that point in time. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, because at the beginning of the show, I did what I normally do. I checked the mic to see if it's working. Today, I checked it three times. So then the last time that I checked it, it was working. So I'm hoping that it still is. I see that she gave all the good reasons why we shouldn't wear masks if we're healthy. The audio was long, but well worth going back and listening to. She is a doctor who has been working in the field of diseases and ER emergency stuff for years and years and years, and she knows what she's talking about. And she's not a government-paid pawn like Dr. Fauci, who will say anything that the government wants him to say to keep his salary coming in, which, by the way, is way, way too much for what he is actually doing. But I have another audio that I played last week also. It was from a black man who has given up calling blacks his people because they are like lemmings, falling for every stupid thing that the government says to control them. And I feel the same way about whites who are falling for the same damn things. This man is not a doctor, but if you will listen, he is speaking the truth here, something we have not heard from the liberal establishment of the government for a long time now. This man is a good reason to know why the government of the left is scared to death of Donald Trump, because blacks are not following him anymore like they used, you know, are not following the left like they used to anymore. And the ones that are falling out of line are like this man.
So I get on the internet, and just the last 2 days, I see hundreds and thousands of videos of white people being beat up by black people, especially the video in Macy's of the Macy's employee getting beat up by a black person for literally no reason whatsoever except to make a viral video. And in New York with Bill de Blasio and his area, where all these Black Lives Matter rioters, all these evil, ridiculously stupid black people who are racist, are throwing all these fireworks into people's houses and setting houses on fire. I'm sick of it. This has nothing to do with George Floyd. It's been an entire fucking month. If you want a civil war, just say so. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to deal with you people right now. And I say you people because you are no longer my people. You call me?
Okay. Now, that one, he is actually using his mind on this one. He's thinking about this whole thing, you know, because like most of us, we are falling through the cracks, so to say. We are allowing the government to tell us what to do, even though some of us know that it's wrong. This morning, I had to go to DMV here in New Mexico to get another extension for my temporary plates that I've got for my cars, because both my cars are financed by a finance company. And because of that, I don't have the titles for them. So the state has put in a thing where if you don't have a title for the car proving the car is yours and you have it financed, and you have to get the finance company, or they have to, you have to fill out a thing to request a paper from the finance company to the state saying, yes, this person owns this car, go ahead and it's okay to license it. So I had to go back, and this is the second time I've had to go back now, because it's been several months since the state got a hold of them, and we still haven't heard from him. If they wait two more months, it won't matter for my car, because my car will be paid off. But I went in there, and we had to wear a mask. And the lady that I talked to, I had to come back home and get one, because I normally do not carry a mask with me. But I told her, I says, I normally don't wear a mask because it'll make me sick because of the different reasons that I just got through listing on here and had listed on here. And she says, I know, but the governor says we must. So I had to come back home and get me a mask. But that is one of the things that's going on here. We are being forced to wear a mask, and some of us are going all out and wearing them all the time. Can you imagine what that is doing to your body when you cannot breathe in the oxygen that your body so requires? I knew somebody, or I didn't know them, but I saw somebody actually the other day. I was driving down the street and I saw somebody who had a mask on inside their car. They were the only ones in their car, and they looked woozy. They looked real out of it. And I decided that I'd better get around this guy, because if I didn't, if he passed out, he could turn into my car or something. Well, I got by him and got about half a block ahead of him, and he actually drove off the road and went into a fence. On the news that night, I heard that the guy had actually passed out. He was wearing a mask. And that's cutting down your oxygen levels in your blood. It's cutting, it's adding to the carbon dioxide in your blood. You cannot wear these things all the time. Outside out here, people, the temperature right now is probably about 102 degrees. You go outside in the sunshine and the virus will die fairly quickly. It cannot survive in sunlight. It cannot survive in temperatures above 70 degrees. And this is something that we have to start thinking about, because we are being lied to. And if you only listen to the lamestream lying media, you're only going to get the one side that says, oh, you have to wear a mask. You'll die if you don't. No, you won't. And you notice in that audio that I did of that doctor, she said anyone over 75, 70 or 75, one of the two, It was 65 before. I'm 67. I don't worry about it. But that's just the way it goes. We will be right back. We will be right back after these important messages. In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one, and an LLC to boot. Enter now, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, Eye in the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless. From photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employee. That's Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, at 505-317-8741, or email us at gardingr@reagan.com. That's GARDINGR@REAGAN.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all. No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years. Their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. Most people do not realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, and coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you is expensive. Traveling home for emergencies is too. The military doesn't cover these, and the list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for families, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. That is where we come in. SAMFAM, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for active duty military by helping their families. We also want to assist retired veterans in the same way. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for your help. Checks made out to SAMFAM, Inc. and sent to 18 Eastern Avenue, Saco, Maine, 04072. That's SACO, Maine, 04072. Your donation will go to helping these families. Make sure to let us know where you heard about this so we can know how you found out about our services. Your donations are tax deductible, and may God bless you. Okay, we are back, and we had a caller in, but their number was 111111111, and the only person that I've ever had that uses that number calls in to just listen, and if I answer the phone, they will hang up. So that is, if I didn't answer the phone because of that. From Breitbart News comes this one, folks, from the news sources in Seattle tell us that Black Lives Matter terrorists have upgraded their rules of engagement, or ROEs, to actively shooting people in vehicles as a result of this new ROE. At least two shootings have now taken place over the last several days. In Utah earlier today, earlier last week actually, a Black Lives Matter protester pulled a gun and opened fire on a 60-year-old man who was slowly driving a white SUV through a public intersection. The gunfire, clearly caught on video and audio, managed to injure the driver but not kill him. The shooter, dressed in typical Black Lives Matter garb and wearing a black and green shemagh, is caught in the green in the screen grab from a video that was in that was with this article, along with several other photos of another BLM member aiming a gun at that same vehicle as it sped away. What many in the media are not reporting is that a second possible Black Lives Matter gunman was also captured in another still frame. This individual is wearing a short-sleeve shirt, a black backpack, and blue jeans. He appears to be aiming a pistol at the same vehicle as it speeds away. On Monday, the Chaz and Chop security goons, armed Black Lives Matter terrorists, opened fire on a vehicle, killing a black teen inside and injuring another. A 16-year-old was fatally shot in Seattle's Chop during last Monday morning, while a 14-year-old remained in critical condition at the Harborview Medical Center, reports Breitbart.com. According to callers, several unidentified people had fired shots into the Jeep. Marty Jackson, a volunteer medic in CHOP, said he heard the gunshots and saw a white SUV driving speedily. That was followed by additional gunshots. He arrived on the scene and witnessed others attempting to tend to the victims, one of whom was shot in the head. He said he recognized victims as they appeared in the area before. He also said that the CHOP securities are the ones who fired on the SUV after it crashed into a concrete barrier, KUOW reported. One of the volunteer medics provided additional details. And so when I arrived up there, he said, I see that guy that got shot in the head and I started doing, you know, medical work on him. The guy that I'm working on got shot in the face twice, once in the temple, once in the jaw, probably four or five times in the arm, and then once in the side. Now, remember, the left-wing media continues to describe Black Lives Matter as peaceful protesters, even though they are shooting up vehicles and actions that have turned BLM-occupied areas of America into active war zones, according to witnesses. The rules of engagement have been escalated to kinetic engagement of vehicles. Why have multiple Black Lives Matter gunmen engaged vehicles on the same day in different cities? Sources tell Natural News that the rules of engagement have been escalated among Black Lives Matter terrorists, and they are now instructed to open fire on suspicious vehicles in an effort to spark a civil war. Well, what is a suspicious vehicle? White? Not black? I don't know, but this is happening, and we are told because Black Lives Matter has experienced zero resistance or pushback against its Marxist agenda to overthrow the nation, so they believe they can succeed in a kinetic war to eliminate their political enemies. Because of this overconfidence, they are now actively upgrading the ROE for their frontline militant troops, who have been heavily armed due to nearly $500 million in donations from virtue signaling corporations across America that are throwing money at Black Lives Matter, effectively funding an illegal insurrection and domestic terrorism on U.S. soil. Corporations that openly support Black Lives Matter and all usual suspects, all of which are now actively supporting violent terrorists who shoot innocent Americans. Here's a list of 260. There is a list of 269 corporations that actively support Black Lives Matter terrorists in America. This list includes Amazon, Bayer, Coca-Cola, Citigroup, Disney, FedEx, General Motors, Home Depot, Lyft, Merck, Target, Verizon, Mozilla, and many more. Note that even when Black Lives Matter protesters are now actively shooting innocent people, there isn't a single one of these corporations that has denounced them. They apparently endorse gun violence now, as long as gun violence is carried out by BLM terrorists. BLM terrorists are even operating in full cooperation of Democrat-run cities, which have granted BLM terrorists blanket immunity to carry out any violent crimes they wish, with police ordered to stand down no matter how violent the crime is. This, folks, is not the way this is supposed to be. I had last week on my show the recording of a horrifying call to the police because BLM and Antifa were climbing all over her car and she had a baby in the car. She was terrified and the police dispatcher told her there was nothing she could do. Sadly, after the show, before I found out that it didn't work, I deleted the recording. But think of it, folks. This alone, without the audio, should let you know just the wrong direction the Democrats are leading this nation. Now, you may say that they don't have the White House or the Senate, but they act like they do. And the elite of the Republican Party, the ones that have to go to in this next election, are allowing them to do this. Why are Black Lives Matter terrorists granted total legal immunity to carry out crimes of extreme violence against America with zero accountability for their actions, yet other people who are just defending their homes are being hit with hate crimes? I talked about that one last week too, of the couple, I think in Georgia, who defended their home and they've been charged with a hate crime. How many BLM shooting victims will it take before President Trump officially declares the group to be a domestic terrorist engaged in an illegal insurrection? Now, he already has pretty much said that they are a terrorist group. They are. All this brings up the obvious question: how long can the lying left-wing media continue to call BLM terrorists peaceful protesters while they were gunning down innocent people in cities across America? How many innocent, law-abiding Americans must die before President Trump and the DOJ officially declare Black Lives Matter to be a terrorist organization operating on U.S. soil? At what point does the raw violence of the BLM finally sink in with the American people and motivate individuals to invoke their own right to self-defense against armed militant terrorists who are hiding behind a social justice narrative? Now, I was saying the couple was in Georgia. They were in St. Louis. The McCloskeys in St. Louis found out that sooner or later you have to pick up an AR-15 just to prevent the lunatic mob from burning down your private property. And these two people are Democrats. But the media has completely said they are wrong. They have been charged with a hate crime because they defended their property. And they are the ones being told they are wrong when the protesters are threatening them. They were threatening them with death. But the media and the powers that be are saying they were peaceful and the McCloskeys were wrong to defend themselves. It is coming to all of us, folks. It's time for a revolution because the people who are there to protect us have been told BLM is lawful, peaceful, and we are the bad ones. How many of us have to die before this is rectified? How many have to die and be assaulted before people finally have had enough to take back our streets from lawlessness that the left in this nation has continued to allow? How long? I will say this again as I've said it before. BLM is an affront to God. To him, Black Lives Matter, but so do all lives matter. So So Black Lives Matter is a group of racists who have actually come out and said, all lives matter doesn't matter until Black Lives Matter. Well, if all lives matter, that includes blacks, doesn't it? That includes yellows and browns and any other color. All lives matter, not just black, all. And the sad part, people are getting in trouble, losing their jobs, etc., for saying anything but Black Lives Matter. BLM is nothing more than a terrorist organization who has been given permission to break the laws the rest of us can't and won't. Nothing more. I have a phone call. Hello, and you are on the show.
Hello, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm glad I'm inside. It's about 102 outside.
Oh, my God, where are you at?
I'm in New Mexico.
Oh, my God. Well, I hope you you and your family all stay safe in this heat and everything that's going on.
Oh, it's really not that awful bad. We've got a wind blowing right now, and the humidity's about 8%, so it's not as bad as places I've been in that have like 80 degrees and it's 80% humidity, so it's doesn't feel that hot, but it's warm.
You know, I had some questions for you, and they're a little bit tough, but ask you, and if I don't want to offend you or get in an argument in any way. It's just I really wanted to ask some serious questions.
That's okay.
Right now, I'm a Christian myself, and I'm also a veteran, served in Afghanistan. I am a proud American. Do you
feel
that God...
Well, God bless you for your service.
Oh, thank you, and may God bless you as well. Do you think that God is going to hold the people responsible for the lies that are being spread right now through the aggressive right with all the lies? Do you think that God will hold the people that are voting for Trump, who's denying and lying, and whose name and face is on the coin of the new temple, just like they said the Antichrist will be? Do you think that God is going to hold people responsible for this?
I think that actually God is going to hold everyone responsible for what they're doing. That's a heck of a good question.
Yeah, something that I ask myself constantly.
I didn't quite catch that.
I'm sorry, I said it's a question that goes through my mind constantly.
Well, it's actually a really good question. You know, it's you know, the thing, you know, if you're one of these people like me and like you who believe in God, we know that there are certain things that we need to do to stay on his good side. That's not really a good way to put it, but there are just, you know, like the Ten Commandments. It's something that I try to follow. Not always successful, but I try to follow them, you know, and then one of them is thou shalt not kill. Well, I think, you know, the people that are going against any of these, I think, are going to be held accountable. And many of them don't look at that. Pardon?
I'm sorry, you said people that are any of these. I didn't know what you meant by any of these.
Oh, any of the things that go against what God feels like, you know, says that we must do to stay,
but
you know, because
his greatest commandment is to love each other and treat others the
yes.
way that we want to be treated. And I'm not trying to offend you, but just hearing the way that you were talking prior to me calling, to me that didn't sound Christian at all. It sounded very judgmental, divisive, and hateful.
Well, I'm sorry it came off that way.
Oh, you're not offending me in any way. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing that I'm looking at, too, is that there are things that happened in the Bible you know, that pretty much, you know, if somebody was doing the wrong things, there were consequences mm-hmm. to the actions. And what I'm looking at now is all these people who are breaking laws,
mm-hmm.
tearing down these businesses, burning cop cars, that's all illegal.
Absolutely.
And none of it is being prosecuted. I've noticed just the past week.
Free of sin, cast the first stone.
Yeah, that's and none of us are.
So why should we ever judge? As a Christian, aren't we supposed to turn the other cheek? I find now that Christians are losing their good morals to a man who has a plan that denied Jesus Christ himself. Trump says that he didn't need to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Do you need to ask Jesus for forgiveness, sir?
I do that every night.
Does every Christian have to ask Jesus for forgiveness?
Yes, you should, every night. Every
if God
day when
warned
you
us about these people that are going to be bad in this world, whether they're burning Canal and cop cars, whether they're denying a virus right now and spreading it to the vulnerable, the greatest generation that ever lived in this country who fought in World War II are dying at an alarming rate right now. How much of their blood would be on your hands for spreading a wrong message against the Lord your God?
I don't really think that I'm spreading the wrong message. One of the things that God has also told us is that if we see evil, we have to go against it.
He never said that. He said to turn the other cheek. If
he said to turn the other cheek, but he didn't.
The Lord God,
he didn't say
the Lord has message of showing forgiveness and lying with the tongue that you have, then the Lord will come down on every single person that uses his name to use their propaganda. May the Lord forgive you, and I will pray for you, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Now, one of the things that I do know, God doesn't want us just to sit back and do nothing and let our lives be taken and just let evil happen. He's not going to help people who will not help themselves. So, you know, the things that one of the things that I have been watching, though, on this whole thing is that we have essentially ourselves, we are in a virtual war, a veritable war. And even in the Bible, there were wars. People fought. People died. And we are now in a war. Here's Rush Limbaugh.
If you're asking, Rush, why you spend so much time in this Russia stuff? It's over. It isn't. The people behind it, the thinking behind it, the objective behind it is still operative. It's still going on. It's just transferred over now to the virus. Mine is an education project. Look at it that way. We'll be back and continue in a moment. I'll tell you something else that's starting to red flags up. You probably have already noticed this. All these blue state governors, they want to keep their states locked down. It's purely political. But what are they depending on? They're depending on the red states. The red states that are opening up. The red states going to get the economy kickstarted. The red states are going to create capital and money to transfer to pay these people their stupid welfare costs and whatever else they're using to bleed this country dry, while their population sits home, doesn't work, waits for the federal check to show up. and they sit around and they trash the supposedly reckless red states. I mean, I cannot tell you how this irritates me. The red states got, like Kemp in Georgia, and any number of these people are doing the right thing. They're trying to get their people back to work for all of the right commonsensical human and humane reasons. To protect lives, to protect livelihoods, the United States economy, the state economy. And then you go to a blue state, and it's the exact opposite. They shut down and lock down, and they want to remain locked down until July or August or whatever. And nothing is going to open and nothing is going to happen. And they fully expect the red states to sit there and essentially pay for it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, these next 4 months are going to be a veritable war like we have not seen. The American left, the Democrat Party, is going to do its best to keep this economy shut down, to extend and expand that shutdown, and blow up their own country's jobs just to ensure that Trump loses.
And that is what we have against us right now, folks. This country is the greatest nation this world has ever seen. And we have an active political party and people who are working with that active political party who are doing their best to destroy her. And I don't think that God would want us to sit back and allow that to happen. If we don't help ourselves, he's not going to help us. Sure, we're supposed to depend on God for all kinds of things, but he won't grow our crops. We have to plant them. He won't make our houses. We have to make them. If somebody comes to destroy our house, he's not going to stop the armies or people coming in to destroy our house. We have to do that. This whole idea that my last caller came in and gave me kind of threw me for a loop, because he's right. We are supposed to follow the laws of God. But by that same token, God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. He will give us guidance. He will lead us. But we still have to do the things we have to do to get through our daily lives. And if we have people coming after us to kill us or to destroy a country, it is up to us to stop it or let it happen. And right now we have something that really hasn't affected this country in a few decades like it is now. Racism is right now the final accusation of a desperate political ideology. It's the thing that's being pushed against all of us. We're being told if we're white, we're racist. If we're Christian, we're racist. And the people who are accusing us of all of this stuff probably don't even know what the meaning of the word is. But that's what they're throwing at us because they think that's what will stop us. And for the most part, it really has. You get accused of something that you don't think you're doing, and it will take you off your game. It will stop you. And the things that are going on now are essentially stopping us.
We will be right back after these important messages for the second hour of the show. No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families have.
I already played that one. Sorry about that.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Rook Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/1500284491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/1500284491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today.
Welcome to CNN's newest show, NADA with Mango, or National Association of Disgruntled Americans. We know there are many out here who are disgruntled and mad about what is going on in our great nation, and how the left seems hell-bent on destroying all of our freedoms and our liberties while destroying the greatest nation on the face of the earth. NADA with Mango, based out of Texas, started earlier this year, and then after five episodes, Chris and his family lost their home, and they have been working to find another one. As soon as it is possible, Chris Mango will be back with his show here on Conservative Nation Media on Wednesday evenings at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Join Chris for a rousing hoo-ha for America with NADA with Mango on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with CNN, where America always wins.
A bit, you know, I don't even have my grandmother's earrings. I'm not a big, let's see what we have in terms of monuments in this. I'm more interested in what people have accomplished. I think that it's up to the communities to decide what statues they want to see. But I think that it's very important that we take down any of the statues of people who committed treason against the United States of America, as those statues exist in the Congress, of the halls of Congress, in the rotundas, of the, not the rotunda, I don't think, but in the statuary hall and the rest, where some of them are. But I'm not one of those people who's wedded to, oh, a statue to somebody someplace is an important thing. If the community doesn't want the statue there, the statue shouldn't be there. That doesn't diminish my pride in my Italian-American heritage and the fact that it was a country discovered by an Italian, named for an Italian, Amerigo Vespucci. So I have that pride, but I don't care that much about statues.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
One small step for man, one Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Hey, we're back. I have a friend out in California who does a radio show and is a constitutional scholar and a speaker. And he did an article on his website called Political Pistachio. And he wrote, "Racism is the final accusation of a desperate political ideology and the tool that former Russian communists said the Marxists would use as part of their ideological subversion of the United States to achieve their revolution. Violence is the final desperate act of scoundrels bent on change and realizing that the bourgeois is not quite as ready to leap into socialism as they thought. And if they didn't, and if they don't get what they think they want, they are ready to burn it all down because their Marxist puppeteers told them to." A commenter on a recent article that he wrote said, and wrote that, "I am not even aware of my white privilege. Does that apply to my Mexican wife? My mixed grandchildren, who are a mixture of white Mexican and Filipino or Puerto Rican, depending on which ones? Does that apply to my good friend Harry, who is Puerto Rican and agrees with me on all this stuff? How about my video-making counterpart, Alfonso Rachel, who is black? Black Lives Matter is the Democrat Party's KKK, but slightly different. The KKK terrorizes blacks and white Republicans, and now the BLM terrorizes white and black Republicans. Same thing with a slight twist. Making the screaming children running around in the streets calling for change the true racists and desperate ones at that. We are witnessing the desperate cry of a group of revolutionaries who don't understand why there is a resistance to their cry for socialism. Every tyranny has in common the need for a common enemy, a perpetual enemy, a battle cry for revolution, and a unifying factor for the foot soldiers to fight against. From the annals of true history regarding communism, fascism, and other dictatorial systems to George Orwell's 1984, the same is true. Tyranny, to survive, needs two things: a perpetual enemy and a free market system to become a parasite on. However, if America falls, the host is dead, and so will be the parasite. There will be no producers remaining to suck off of." The supporters of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and this latest round of radicalism that is reminiscent of the operations of the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground from the late 60s and into 1970, is nothing new. And the connections to the old Weather Underground group are striking. They are following the same playbook, and they are saying the same things, except this time there is a president in office, Donald J. Trump, and a conservative electorate who are aware of what these radicals are truly about. Therefore, it's not working as well as the radicals thought it would, so they are becoming desperate. Desperate pawns, desperate tools, desperate children throwing a temper tantrum in the hopes of overturning and overthrowing the American system. They remind me of dogs chasing cars, not really knowing what they would do if they ever caught it. And they are definitely not intelligent enough to drive it if ever they got behind the wheel. They are not smart enough to know that they don't know. This is outright stupidity. They are nothing more than foot soldiers for a larger leftist power that, if ever gains control of this country, will execute each and every one of them as a thank you in the name of them knowing too much. The communists did it. The fascists did it. And these radical rulers will do it if the treason against the United States succeeds. So little children calling for defunding and dismantling the police, like the person who commented on one of my articles called what I wrote cute, and that their fight is against the white power structure, simply proves how ignorant the commenter is and how much of a throwaway tool that person really is. Be warned, be careful for what you wish for, because it will likely cost you your life, not while fighting in what you think will be a glorious revolution, but by execution by the very power structure you think you are in support of. And be aware the power structure the protesters and rioters claim to hate, big corporate America, are the very ones helping them do what they are doing, because the power structure and rioters think they hate are largely the puppeteers pulling these ignorant people's strings. I wrote in 2016, before Trump was even elected, that this was on its way, because they do the same thing every time. There are some highlights as I write to defend the Republic and explain the dangers of democracy and leftist mob mentality. Democracy is mob rule, which becomes mob violence led by people who populate our current ineptocracy. The recipients in such a movement are the takers, the parasites who suck the life out of liberty and free market. Eventually, the takers begin to demand a redistribution of wealth in the name of fairness. As the non-producers become fat and satisfied from the confiscation of wealth from the producers, eventually the takers outnumber the producers and the fate of the system is set. Disaster can be the only result. It has now become the idea that some people have a legitimate right to forcibly control others. From their point of view, theirs is the best idea. Therefore, all other concepts must be squashed. No concept that may challenge the superior ideas by the statists can be allowed. All citizens must have faith that the religion of big government is what must be worshipped and must stand alone. Any dissent will be eliminated. And they are willing to resort to violence if necessary to defend these ideas. They ritualize the actions of the government, surrounding the leaders with children and supporters wherever they find, whenever they sign a piece of legislation. When the radicals who have performed an internal coup rabble-rouse using the uniforms of authority they have acquired, be it police, federal enforcement agencies, or judges to accomplish their strategy. Yet, as they don the uniform, they continue to argue that they are the ones who stand against the uniforms. They are battling against the man, even though they have become the man. Persons tasked with policing look too much like the enemy the leftist, liberal leftists are trying to dislodge. Even the denizens of law enforcement must be broken, retraining, and made to be in full compliance with a new order that is rising like a blossoming religion. If you want the world fixed, the citizens are told, you need to take to the streets and stop those sinners who are standing in the way of a new dawn. You must be a citizen army of agitators and activists. Democracy is mob rule, and mob rule is mob violence. That is what they seek. The Republic is being assassinated, designed to better dissenters into submission. The same concept is being employed by the current authoritarians in government, masked with faces of good intentions. BLM and the Black Panthers say they exist to combat racism. How can one argue? We know that racism is bad, and so those combating it are noble, right? except the Democrat Party method of combating racism is with their own brand of racism, using violence to target those who dare to disagree. Law enforcement has also become a target. Chaos, after all, destroys, and then from the rubble, the statists may remake the society into the image they believe is best. Cops who stand in the way will be attacked and removed. Cops who believe in the Democrat Party's cause will survive the attacks being perpetuated by the new American brown shirts. These rare cops are considered allies. All others must be exterminated. Like the radical agitators of other revolutions before them, the tearing down of statues have nothing to do with what they say it is, in this case racism. It is all about deconstructing our history. The shutdown orders or fake news of inflated numbers of COVID-19 cases have nothing to do with a virus. It is all about locking you up at home so that you are out of the way of the revolution and become accustomed to your new limitations on freedom. The 1619 Project is a fraud and designed to deconstruct our founding as a country of liberty. The mandate to wear masks is simply an authoritarian order designed to get you accustomed to the kind of rule over you. Idiotic leaders like those in San Bernardino County have gone so far as to even declare that racism is a health crisis. The desperation is there, though, because the problem is not only are the conservatives and constitutionalists standing up for their country, but Democrats realizing that the socialists now have full control of the Democrat Party are leaving the leftist movement. Radical Black Lives Matter people are turning on blacks, no matter who they are, if they dare to voice dissent. News is getting out that BLM is less about black lives and more about terrorism and connections to radical people, groups, and ideologies. The reality is that in the end, BLM is all about forcing America through violent revolution into becoming a communist country. BLM and the Democrat Party are all about killing the nuclear family and steering Americans away from believing in God. Their revolution is failing, and zones like the one in Seattle are being dismantled. Even Barack Obama has admitted that this whole thing is not about racism, but about political power for the Democrats and their socialist allies. So while the liberal left works to defund, dismantle, or pass laws that will harm police and encourage violence against them, the people are watching this lawlessness, and I believe most Americans have come to the conclusion that this is not what they want, and the voters are deciding their Democrat Party has left them. As General Michael Flynn wrote in the Western Journal, 2% are trying to gain control, and we better not be complacent if we wish to stop these people. They are desperate. They may realize their revolution is not working as they'd hoped, but as they sink into desperation, they will become like the cornered animal and possibly go for broke with a bombing, an assassination, or worse. But in the end, I believe this will all backfire on them, giving President Trump a landslide victory in November and launching a new era that may end in the dismantling of the old Democratic Party. That is, if the country doesn't burn down in the meantime. The things that I find in the news, now before I go any farther, that was written by Douglas V. Gibbs of Political Pistachio. He is a person who teaches constitutional classes in California, something that I am planning on starting up here in New Mexico as soon as this lockdown goes away, if it ever does. And he is usually right on the money with everything he talks about. He is someone to listen to. But the things that I find in the news, right news, not the left, are heartening to say the least, and I keep finding them. From American Action News comes this one. Democrats seek to reduce assault on police to a misdemeanor. As if our police don't have a hard enough job now, the demon brats want to make it even worse for them. Virginia State Democrats want to downgrade the charge of assault on a police officer to a misdemeanor. Critics argue their proposal reduces protections for the police officers, but the Democrats are holding all levers in power in Richmond, and it seems likely to gain traction. And this from Fox 5 DC. Currently, assaulting an officer is a Class 6 felony with a minimum penalty of 6 months in jail and a maximum of 5 years. Misdemeanors carry a one-year maximum and no minimum. In addition to reducing the consequences for assaulting an officer, the proposals also include a number of restrictions that would be imposed on the police officers to limit the use of force. These proposals include required attempts to de-escalate situations before using force, and police do this anyway. But this includes as well as issuing warnings and exhausting all other means before firing shots. And in the process, the bad guys are going to be firing the shots. There's nothing stopping them, except laws that are not being followed. The proposals also call for canceling supplemental funding to local police departments if they have a disproportionate use of force incidents in their jurisdiction. So if you're in a very, very violent area and you have to use force to stop some of these people, then your police department is going to get canceled. Additional proposed reforms include prohibiting the searches of people or vehicles based on an odor of marijuana if there's no suspicion of any other offenses, and eliminating mandatory minimum sentences. Now, I know if I was a cop in these times when the demon brats are working overtime to get rid of us, I would stop being a cop and go to my home to protect my family. You will get in trouble either way. So I'd rather be protecting the ones that I love and at the same time take out a few of these lawless people that the liberals have no gonads to stop. Think back to that 911 call I talked about earlier, and it was from Seattle. It was in the CHOP area. This woman had a kid in her car. She was calling the police for help, and the police were telling her, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do." I felt really sorry for that woman, and if I was there, I would have been trying to help her all I could. And I'd have been probably been made into a bad guy for it. But that's the things that we have got going here, folks. But the thing that I had talked about a little while ago that was written by Douglas V. Gibbs, he lives in California. California is a bastion of dark blue communist totalitarian madness. And the governor, Gavin Newsom, or as I like to say, Gavin Gruesom, like Doug says too, has proclaimed himself a dictator. He likes to say things like, quote, "We have to enforce and we will," unquote, and, quote, "Whether you like it or not," unquote. And he even believes that he has the authority to dictate to you what you can do at your backyard barbecues on Independence Day. The other night, this was also from Doug. He wrote, "Last night I grabbed a bite to eat at a local restaurant because due to Newsom's recent executive order, inside dining is illegal. Again, or at least it will be as of tomorrow. Why? Because according to Newsom, we have a spike in cases of COVID-19 in this state, and it's because too many people are leaving their homes and because too many people are not wearing masks in public. And this time, he assures us he won't be relaxed and let renegade counties like Riverside County get away with not enforcing his edict. We have to enforce, and we will." Newsom has repeatedly told us that science shows that face coverings and masks work, except that is a lie. They don't. This has nothing to do with the virus and has everything to do with political control over the public. And Gavin Newsom is doing these things illegally. The problem is, while there are a dozen and a half lawsuits out there right now to recall Gavin Newsom petition, he believes he is bulletproof. They rejected the last call petition, and the left organizers with no recourse other than to start it all over again. As for lawsuits, unlike the Oregon District Court, which was law-abiding enough to strike down Oregon Governor Kate Brown's idiotic mandates, calling them an overreach of authority, the California federal courts are not so compliant when it comes to the rule of law. Gavin Newsom, as if he'd be willing to read what I had written, "You are not a dictator. Your orders have no legal authority. They are not accompanied by legislation. Only the legislature has the power to make law. Even in martial law, there is definitely martial law by another name, and you don't have full dictatorial powers. You have no authority to order me to wear a mask, especially if I believe it is harmful to my health. You have no authority to quarantine the healthy, only the infected, and possibly those who have had contact with the infected may be quarantined by the government. And Sacramento has no constitutional authority to be involved in that process. It is delegated to the county health official, who may make these determinations on a case-by-case basis. You have no authority to tell businesses what they can or cannot do regarding running their business if they let customers through the door, because Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution forbids states to interfere with the obligation of contracts, including service contracts, employment contracts, and so forth. But the states have done that. They did it here in New Mexico. Governor Grisham have done that. But you have no authority to dictate to me what I can do in my backyard, much less my barbecue during Independence Day. Michael Savage even says you plan to go so far as to use undercover operatives and secret police to ensure compliance. Screw you. My property is none of your damn business. You can't limit my travel. You can't limit my shopping or entertainment. You cannot force me to wear a mask if I don't want to. You can't limit my life legally. Everything you are doing is illegal, unconstitutional, and against the American liberty. So I refuse to wear a mask. I refuse to social distance, and I refuse to comply, because also in the end, if you run the numbers, COVID-19 is a great big lie. Yes, the virus exists, and some people with compromised immune systems have died from it, but the damage being done in response is killing more people and killing the economy. The Democrat authoritarian cure is proving to be worse than the disease, and I will not comply. As for the vaccine, you guys can also shove that where the sun don't shine too. I will not allow you to place in my body a substance I have no full understanding or explanation regarding. Even if you make it mandatory, I refuse to accept it. This is not American liberty. You and your fellow leftists have overstepped, and the advance upon our liberty stops here, stops now, and better stop forever. It won't, because that is what the left is all about, after all. And with that last one, Douglas V. Gibbs has it right. Not only has Governor Dictator Grisham overstepped his bounds, but here in New Mexico, our governor has too. It is now, according to this socialist person, Grisham, it is now illegal to go outside without a mask. And the highway signs blare that out too. You have to wear a mask when outside or out of your home. This, my friends, is the scaremongering that the left always accuses the right of, but they are actively doing it to us. No wonder so many people have masks on all the time, even when driving a car all alone with no one in the car with them. Like I said earlier, I was driving the other day and saw a person driving a car next to me who was wearing a mask and looking like they were about to pass out. I got past them, got out of the line of fire of their car, didn't want them passing out because they were being stupid with me in close proximity to them. You can't go to Sam's Club without a mask. You can't go outside without a mask, which is stupid because temperatures have been in the upper 90s here, and it's in the triple digits here today, which kills the virus in minutes. It can't handle the heat. Sunlight also kills the virus, but according to Governor Grisham and others here in New Mexico all over the nation, we must be lemmings and do what they say. People, wake up. The coronavirus cannot live in those conditions. So she is telling us all, we can't go outside without a mask. Now, I haven't followed those rules so far, and I won't. I was going to go to Sam's Club the other day to get my favorite creamer for my coffee, and they told me I can't go in without a mask. We, both my wife and I, walked away. They lost a customer today. This whole idea that going outside without a mask in 90-degree weather is bad for you is stupid, to say the least. In the last few days, there have been 100 degrees out there or more outside. A few days ago, Tucker Carlson called the protesters around the nation the stupidest people this nation has ever seen. At the same time, I agreed with him, but as of today, I don't. The stupidest people in this nation are the Democrats. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is among those of the stupidest in this nation has ever seen. Governor Gavin Newsom of California is another one. Governor Whitmer of Michigan. Governor Cuomo of New York. But the stupidest of the bunch are the Republicans, who are falling in line with this idiocy and closing their states back down. These politicians have got to realize that people are sick and tired of being told that they cannot do things, and the solvency of the United States depends on us going back to work. Here in New Mexico, we have lost this year the two things that bring the state the most money during the year, and that is the state fair, that's been closed, and the International Balloon Fiesta. The latter one happens the second week of October, for crying outside here. Everyone that I have seen and talked to since this was announced are boiling mad. This state is going broke, and the main reason is Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and the demon brats who are running this country and the state into bankruptcy. New Mexico, about 40 years ago, was solvent, run by Republicans and running in the black. Today, under Grisham and the demon brats, this state is swimming in red tape. And even though this state needs things like the state fair and the balloon fiesta to bring in badly needed money, the businesses of the state are being told to stay shuttered. Churches are just now opening up, but I wonder for how long. With Grisham at the controls, I can see them being shut back down. It is time for a change before this nation goes belly up in bills and red tape. The people are getting sick and damn tired of this tyranny by the government, who is supposed to be working for the people. But they are going overboard and telling the people that they can and what they can and cannot do in their own backyards for the 4th of July. In this city, you can see the frustration by the number of violations for fireworks this year. Last year, there were about 300. This year, as of the 3rd of July, there had already been well over 1,000. I can see a boiling point being reached, and the politicians better start thinking twice before lowering any more rules on a population who is sick and damn tired of the government overreaching their constitutional duties and pushing the people to rebellion. It is coming, Grisham. It is coming, Newsom. It is coming, Pelosi, Schumer, et al. You had better open up your eyes and stop pushing with an iron fist and start ruling the way the Constitution says you can, because the people are ready to rise up and stop you, period. The only thing that has saved you so far is the fact that, until now, our lives here in America have been good. But you are turning America into a high-security prison, and the people who are supposed to be free are locked up unrighteously. COVID is not as dangerous as you all say it is. And if you would read the reports of the true doctors, you would find out that letting the people get out and enjoy warm summer months would be the best thing for them, without a mask so they can breathe air. and it would be good for you too. Remember, November is coming, and you who are liberals are not going to fare well. Mark my words, we are talking about this because I am one of those pissed off Americans who will go to the polls on election day and vote you dictators out of office. And to hell with your mail-in ballots. We know that this is your attempt to cheat your way back to office you so badly reside in now. The American people are not stupid. You are. Hoping you are listening, Grisham, Newsom, Pelosi, Schumer, and all the rest who are thinking of deciding the best thing to do is get rid of our protectors, like the police and the Constitution. Screw you all. This is getting ridiculous. America has got to go back to work. America has got to be allowed our freedoms to do what we need to do to get rid of this virus. Keeping us cooped up inside our houses, away from the sunlight, which will kill it, is not doing any of us any good. The violent mayhem that we have seen in the streets and cities that are run by liberal Democrats, in every case, is a predictable result of years of extreme indoctrination and bias in education, journalism, and other cultural institutions. Trump said, quote, against every law of society and nature, our children are taught in school to hate their own country and to believe that men and women who built it were not heroes, but that they were in fact villains. The radical view of American history is a web of lies. All perspective is removed, every virtue is skewed, every motive is twisted, every fact is distorted, and every flaw is magnified until the history purged in the record is disfigured beyond all recognition. Unquote. Before Trump's speech, longtime Entertainment Tonight host Mary Hart, the former Miss Dakota, South Dakota, introduced Governor Kristi Noem, who introduced Secretary of Interior State Bernhardt. This whole thing, folks, has got to stop. We are having a very bad summer. But here's something that I got from Kathy Hinners, who does the intro for my second hour of the show. And she has been on this show several times and used to have her own show here on CNN. Here's what she said, and this makes sense, folks, if you listen to it. She says, quote, so those who choose to wear a mask, go ahead. But please explain what good it does to walk into a restaurant and then remove it to eat. What happens at the DMV when you need a new picture or have to go through airport security? Does the virus give you a pass for those few minutes? How's it feel to be controlled? How's it feel to be so fearful you'll do anything the government tells you to? If you are healthy, why would you wear one? Did you wear one prior to this virus? Do you think we live in a sterile world? Did you panic in 2009 when H1N1 was a pandemic? Mask wearers, stop. You are bringing on issues that are going to change our world dramatically. By your succumbing to the pressure to wear one, you are aiding in the destruction of our freedoms. How long will you allow yourself to be the experiment of science and government? Enough is enough. When your time is up, it won't matter if you are wearing a mask or not. Stop. And amen to that, Kathy. We have to start using our heads on this, folks. We have to start using our heads, or we won't have one to use. God bless America. God bless our troops. And as a friend of mine used to always say, we will not be ruled. And I will add to that, if we don't allow it. I'm glad that there have been several people who have listened today. I'm sorry that some have taken what I've said wrong, but we have to start watching what is going on, and we have to start fighting against it. Like I said before, God will not help us if we don't care to help ourselves. We have to be helped, and we need to start helping ourselves. Welcome to NWCR, or New Wise Conservatism Radio, CNM's longest-running and flagship show with your host, Robert D. Infidel Garding, from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this increasingly unreasonable world. From current news to what this nation needs to get back on the right track, you will hear it here with clarity and with no political correct jargon to confuse you. NWCR has been with CNM since 2013, and in September we will be celebrating our 7th anniversary with the network. We air on Blog Talk Radio at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays and Fridays so we can help bring you the news to help make the liberal minds explode and the lemming wannabes in our nation scratch their head in bewilderment. That is NWCR Radio on CNM, two nights a week where America always wins. God bless you all.